in theory, we're live.
Woohoo!
And yes, before anyone asks, I did remember to press the record button.
I was going to ask that. So.
Ellie had to step AFK briefly, so my immediate thought was, well, oh no, she's not here. Who will remind me to press the record button? Wait, did I just remind myself? Mindblown.gif.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, a homebrew Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign. My name is Crash, I'll be your DM for the evening, and tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people. Ellie, who was AFK briefly, Jen, and Cindy. Io is under the weather, so hopefully they will join us next time. So what happened last time was you made it out of the swamp under a mountain with the help, and there is a question mark in parentheses behind the word help, with the help of a kobold inventor named Varn. Not Vern. He does not know anyone named Ernest. Although I'm not the only person who thought that. I was apparently thinking it very hard. So you've made it into this desert area, which I mentioned it briefly, but this particular area used to be farmland. It is now referred to as Numeria. Well, it was called Numeria before. Numer was the prince. He was like the brother of the ruling emperor at the time, who decided it would be a good idea to form his own empire. And that didn't work out so well because when the emperor laid the smackdown on him, he had some mountains magically created around the land that Numer had claimed for himself. That pretty much took a breadbasket and turned it into a toast basket. There's no source of water here at all. All of the water that would normally be there is diverted. And fun fact about mountains, if they're high enough, clouds don't tend to make it over them. And for some reason, the kobolds thought it'd be fun to go exploring. Something about this is an area where you might find more information about Tiamat and the various beings that you may or may not have woken up from a millennia-long slumber. Oops. Mistakes were made. And your first evening in Numeria, you encountered a bunch of strange creatures that each had a giant eye and a strange penchant for wanting magic. When Zili said that she had magic in her soul, they immediately requested her soul. She was not inclined to hand that over, but she did show a magical device that she had acquired recently that, if I remember correctly, she showed the thing that she got that gives endless water, which is kind of a neat trick, and they were kind of interested in that. But instead of her handing that over, they were willing to bargain information for it. Instead, Daldane handed over a cloak of billowing because it was also magic, and Daldane didn't really use it anyway. Unfortunately, Daldane gave it to one of these creatures that did not offer information, so they all just scurried off. Then you had a long rest, and in the morning they were gone. What would you like to do? First of all, would you like to retcon anything? Because you are currently in the desert, and you seem to be venturing around daytime. Do you want to switch it to being nocturnal, since you're kobolds?
That's probably smarter.
Yeah.
Okay, so retcon, you finish your long rest at dusk.
Sounds good. Where did we have the long rest? In the mansion or in, like, the farmhouse that we found?
The dwelling.
Ah, good. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, Daldane's dazzling dwelling, I'm assuming that unless you tell me otherwise, that's where you're having every long rest.
Okay.
An army of unseen servants that will feed you enough food for 100 people or 50 people in Gox?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. That's going to be a first choice. In my headcanon, if you go home to the Kobold Warrens, you're still going to use that spell to put Kobold Warrens inside the Kobold Warrens.
Yep.
And if you can cast it multiple times, then you could cast it inside itself. Then you have food for 200 people. All the bacon. All right. So what would you like to do?
Well, if we're ready, I guess I'm going to look outside and see if those creatures are still hanging around.
Perception check.
Okay. Let's see what I can do with that. That's a 3. And perception is a plus 5.
Well, you do not see anyone.
Okay.
You do find footprints.
Oh, I find footprints. Okay.
Yeah. Like, right where they were all standing, you find their footprints. So that doesn't... That wasn't a roll that was really needed. That would have been a gimme.
All right. So as far as I can tell, those things are gone. That's what I'm assuming.
Yes.
All right.
They took nothing but pictures and a cloak of billowing. They left nothing but footprints.
Right. Okay. Well, since there's nothing out there to fight, I'm going to close the door and go look for Bacon while I'm still inside the mansion.
Varn has shown you his latest invention. It is...
Okay.
He calls it Baconception. He has woven strips of bacon together to make very small bacon-sized mats, and then he uses them as bread and for a sandwich that he puts bacon in.
Gox is impressed.
Really, it's just a pile of bacon.
Yeah.
But it takes more time.
It's a fancy pile of bacon, you know, it's got the weaving going on there. Gox is impressed.
He does let you know to not eat the parsley on the side that's really there just for show.
No worries.
Well, after we've had a full meal, we should probably continue on deeper into the desert to try to find where we can get that information about Tiamat.
Okay. Which way should we go? Gox doesn't really care. He's just delaying leaving the table with all the bacon. That's pretty much what he's doing.
For some reason, you remember the save icon that appeared in the corner of your vision at the end of last session? And the ominous feeling it gave you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the mountains are to one side, so we go the direction that's opposite of the mountains. Did we get a map of where Tiamat stuff was?
You have a map that, for hopefully obvious reasons, is incredibly outdated. It covers this area when it was lush farmland. There was a palace that Nimer had built that was kind of in the center of this area. And there was a sizable town built up around it.
So, yeah, that direction.
Okay, let's go find a palace.
Or more likely the barely sustained ruins of one, but yes.
Well, okay. I mean, it was once a palace. I guess it's sort of still.
We can hope.
Maybe there's enough pieces left we can find it.
At least it won't be a water temple.
You know, I'm a weird gamer. I actually like the water temples in Zelda.
I didn't mind them so much, but I appreciate that it became a meme that they were a bad thing. But then I've only ever beaten one Zelda game ever. I don't blame my skill, I blame my ADD. But moving on. Alright, so you head off following what you think are your map directions, and for that I'm going to require a survival check to make sure you're following the map properly.
Survival check from who?
Whoever is navigating.
I'll do it.
Okay.
24.
Okay.
Ooh.
12 plus 12.
Wow.
Daldane survives a lot. It's right up there with basically, okay, time to start a fire. I start the fire. Now you're going to have to try to avoid the poison ivy. I burn all the poison ivy.
No, that's silly.
No, that's, yeah. I see that.
Oh,
one of Chris's characters.
Or Sanctimonious Long in the last session that we did with them.
Oh, God.
True.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because when we start that next session for Hit and Abyss, and people listening to this after the fact will have heard that long before they hear this episode, but never mind about that. So Sanctimonious Long has been petrified, and you're in the middle of a burning forest. And we're going to start that session up right where it left off. Because that's not something you just fast forward through time. All right, moving on. You all hop in your cart with your donkeys with no names and go through the desert.
We named the donkeys, didn't we?
You never actually gave me their names.
Shrek and the other one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right, you did. So the donkeys do have names. Which means I can't reference my oldies songs anymore. You see some strange guy go through on a horse. He says, I didn't name the horse! And then goes off into the sunset. Only he was dead because you haven't encountered anything that was actually alive except for those strange creatures. Tim says hi!
Oh no!
Okay. So with a 24, you're fairly certain that you're going in the right direction. How perceptive are you attempting to be as you go? Or are you trying to be sneaky? Or, like, how are you doing this?
Well, Marwise, unless there's really tall grass or trees, is probably not paying much attention.
Well, there is no tall grass. The dead grass is long since gone. It's not a featureless plain. As you are traveling, you do pass other farms with structures in various states of disrepair. There are hedgerows, but there's no hedges built into the hedgerows. It's just piles of stone making up delineations between various fields. It would be rolling hills. It is technically rolling hills. It's just everything's dead here. You find a few skeletons laying around of various, like the stereotypical cow skeleton that's just sitting there in the field. There's a vulture skeleton next to it.
That's not a good sign.
Well, this is a desert's desert, so. But yeah, if that's the features we're running across, Marwise is probably pretty relaxed and not paying as much attention as she probably should be.
It turns out the card is a mimic playing the long game.
Oh no. Gox is periodically like looking around just to see if anything's coming at us, but probably can see for a while if there's not really anything there, you know?
Well, then have Gox give us a perception check.
All right. That's a 16, and perception is plus 5.
All right. Well, you are fairly certain that you're being followed.
Okay.
They're not following you very close.
Okay.
You think there are only one, because you only see one glowing yellow eye off in the distance. Like, when you're going over one hill, you kind of see them peeking over the last hill you went over.
Okay, so I'm going to drop to the back of the group, and I'm going to kind of let people know, hey, we're, don't freak out, but we're being followed by one of those creatures with the big eyes. But I think it's just one, and they haven't attacked or anything yet. But just so you know, I'm going to, be at the back of us in case it comes up.
Okay. Oh, all right. I'll do my inspiring leader thing while I'm thinking of.
What does that do?
That is 17 temporary hit points.
Oh wow! Is that for everyone or is that for you? How does this work? I don't remember.
It's for everyone.
That's for everyone.
Oh, 17. Okay, I can do that. That's very helpful.
Okay. Somebody roll me a d20. I don't care who, but I'm going to take the first number I'm told.
Mine hit something, so it doesn't count.
14 it is, then.
Okay. You don't seem to encounter anything on night number 2.
Okay.
It does get a little chilly. There's nothing really to absorb and maintain the heat enough. It's a desert. Deserts get cold at night for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature does start to rise again. So you've got mixed feelings about being out and about at night. On one hand, it's cold. On the other hand, Daystar burn.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get that cold. This isn't Coomeridge.
Okay.
So it is starting to get lighter out. It's about time that you're going to have to find a place for a long rest, or you can travel through the day.
Does the dazzling dwelling have to be cast on a wall or something?
It does need to be cast on a surface, yes. But like I said, you're going through farmland areas.
Find a barn with a wall.
Matter of fact, up ahead, you think that if you travel for another hour or so, you might get there right as the sun is cresting the mountains. But you think there's a small town ahead.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go there. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you do time it well. You do end up getting there right as the first rays of the sun are peeking over the mountains and blinding anyone who doesn't have a hat on. But you do get into within the town limits, as it were. There was a sign out front where the name of the town is sort of illegible at this point, but where it says population, the number was crossed out and the zero was put there.
Welcome to Hoverville.
More or less.
It's a funny name for a town.
Centralia. I say you went to Centralia. People who
we
know
could just call it Goxville.
No, I've retconned it. You've entered Centralia. It says Centralia on your map. And those who know about Centralia...
Oh, dear.
I do not know.
Pennsylvania native here.
Yep. It's the town where a coal seam caught fire underground and has been burning ever since.
Still burning. Yes.
That's... Wow. Okay.
There's some spot that town that inspired Silent Hill?
Yep.
It may have.
Hmm.
There's some spots where if you stand there too long, the soles of your shoes will start to melt. There's other spots where you'll have giant sinkholes because the coal seam burning away has eroded all the ground underneath that holds you up. There's some spots where you're just going to die from the poisonous fumes coming out of cracks in the ground.
Is this an in-game description or a Centralia description?
Yes. Well, Centralia specifically.
Okay.
But... this town is pretty creepy. You are getting a Silent Hill vibe. There's no fog or mist, however.
That would require water.
That would require
water. We do have to use tank controls.
Tank controls are not. The moment we hear an air raid siren, we just run. Don't even worry about keeping each other in sight. Just run.
Yep.
So long as you don't have the camera change every time you go from one room to another. But that'd be Resident Evil. Oh, I hated that mechanic.
All right, so can we find a wall to
you put have up the doorway a plethora on? Of walls available to you.
Okay. If I knock on the walls, do they turn into animated houses that are going to eat us?
If they are animated houses, they are, as I've stated before, playing the long game.
Okay. Then I will throw up the doorway on a convenient wall and lead the donkeys inside.
Okay. The wall you throw it on appears to have been the local inn or saloon or whatever. It's hard to tell. But it's got that fancy door thing that you see in Westerns where it's not actually a door.
It's the double hinged.
Yeah.
The little door, so we'd probably fit underneath.
More or less. But it's got flat walls on either side, so you throw it up on there and someone roll me a d20 again.
A dog limps in and says, I'm looking for the man who shot my paw.
A horse walks in. The bartender says, why the long face?
All right, I've rolled a 19.
All right.
I don't remember what I'm rolling for, but I've rolled a 19. I don't remember.
You were rolling because I asked for somebody to roll a d20.
Okay, well, I've got a 19.
with no additional information about what the 19 means.
Okay.
I like this mechanic. It's up there with when you're fighting a dragon or something with a recharge effect, having a player roll to see if they recharge.
Oh, wow.
So a priest or rabbi and a layman walk into a bar and the bartender looks up and says, what is this, a joke?
A superconductor at room temperature walks into a bar. Bartender says, we don't serve your kind here. Superconductor at room temperature leaves with no resistance. Virus walks into a bar. The bartender says, we don't serve your kind here. Virus takes over the bartender and says, now we do. Okay. So night goes uneventfully. Well, day goes uneventfully because you're in Daldane's Dazzling Dwelling, which is a much better name than Mordenkainen's Magnificent Mansion because it's easier for me to pronounce. And really, that's what counts. And nothing's going to get in there without your permission, which is great. Dusk breaks. I suppose that's the right words. Whatever. In any case, your long rest is done. What do you want to do?
I say we explore the town for a little bit.
All right.
You can see the sights, buy some souvenirs. Is there anything in particular you're looking for?
Well, I'm not playing Mazir, so I just want to see what's around.
Okay.
Marwise being Marwise, we'll keep an eye out for books.
Okay. Well,
and this... Gox is going to kind of keep an eye out to see if that creature with the big eye is still hanging around and if anything else is coming at us.
All right. Well, Gox in particular... Actually, everyone give me a perception check. You're looking for different things.
Okay. I have rolled a 1. But perception is a +5, so there's...
You're not entirely sure... Well, if a nat 1 is a nat 1, no matter what. Yeah. If you have +20, you fail on a nat 1.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So you're not entirely sure. You saw the creature yesterday.
Okay.
I rolled a 1, so I'm not entirely sure there were ever people here.
It might be natural formation. Town.
Yeah.
And somehow I nat 20'd.
Oh, good job.
Okay. Well, most of the town... This town is not... well, it's a dead town. It's a ghost town, as it were. You do not actually encounter any ghosts that you're aware of. But it's not a town that catered to a population that made lending libraries a useful thing. However, you did spend the night in a dazzling dwelling that was on the wall of the local gathering place. And they do have a small library of books for their patrons, which is maybe about 20 or so books that are stacked together on a wide variety of topics. A lot of them are fictions. There's a few Harlequin romance novels in there.
I might grab a random fiction one, but if there's any on history, especially local history, or I'm grabbing those, and given that we're trying to navigate this place, anything on geography or landscape as well.
Roll me a d6.
5.
The library does recharge its legendary attack.
Inspiration, if you didn't already have it. Yes, the library recharges legendary attack. Roll versus paper cut. If you make your save, the pages are dog-eared. No, but in all seriousness, you do find a couple yearbooks that are in there.
All right, into the bag of holding.
Okay. And I'm going to add to the information that you've gathered, because you did roll a nat 20 for perception. You're pretty sure you heard some scuttling sounds.
Guys, I think we're still being followed.
What did you see? Where?
I heard movement that wasn't any of us.
All right, I'm going to look around again, which probably means I need to roll again. And this time I have an 18 +5, if we're going with perception.
You briefly see a shadow, because there is a moon out, so there are some shadows about. It's not pitch black outside, and the sun's only just gone down.
Hmm.
The shadow that you see, you only see it briefly before it moves into the larger shadow of the building that you're next to at this time. But it appeared to be spider-like.
Anybody else see a giant spider shadow?
No.
I think I saw a giant spider shadow.
We should probably get moving then.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
So I think it went that way. I'm going to point the direction that I think it went, and then I'm going to turn around and say, so maybe we should go this way, and it's the other way.
All right, the direction we're actually trying to go to get to those ruins, how opposite of the spider is that?
Well, how much do I reveal from your role? You're pretty sure it was on one of the buildings. So if it's going from rooftop to rooftop, you're not quite sure which direction it's in. I mean, for all you know, it was a tiny little spider, and it was just in the moonlight. You saw it's a very large shadow from it. But you're kobolds, and with your luck, that's probably not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Gox is ready to fight a giant spider, but he doesn't really want to.
If that gives anything to go by, then we'll try petting the giant spider.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
I know, right?
Look at that. So cute. Oh my gosh.
Well, I, the DM, am starting to lose focus a little bit, and we've been playing for almost an hour. We've been playing for half an hour, but we've been live for an hour.
Okay.
You want to take 5?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay, and when we come back, we'll find out what's happening with this giant spider thing. Or maybe cute, adorable little baby spider. Maybe the party will adopt a pet. That's a cliffhanger for you. All right, I'm going to press some buttons. Okay, so we're back, and you are in the middle of a ghost town where the light is dimming more and more. It is not high noon. You slept through noon. It's not even midnight. It's right around the time in Minecraft where the zombies start spawning. But you don't see any zombies. Instead, you've heard skittering sounds, and you've seen the shadow of what appeared to be a larger spider. But you haven't seen it face to face.
So I think we've decided to go get the cart and run.
Yeah.
Our best bet's to continue forward, keep an eye out for big cobwebs or ambush spiders.
Okay, you're going to make like a tree and get out of here.
Yep.
Okay. You hop on the cart, start heading out. And someone roll me a d20.
13.
Okay. As you are traveling on the cart, the quickest way to get out of town is to go through it. Otherwise, you'd be going around it, and it's large enough that that would add more time to your schedule. You do find that your way is blocked by a large spider. Now, this particular spider that you see is, let's take a look at this, it is by D&D mechanics a large creature, so much bigger than your human companions that you've had on occasion. Definitely much bigger than a kobold. It is not facing the party. It is facing a building that looks like it was a home at one point back when there were people here, and it seems to have just stopped. But it's large enough, it's blocking the entire street.
That's a large spider.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I wonder why it's staring at the building.
Give me a stealth check at disadvantage because you're not actually trying to be stealthy.
Who do you want to roll it?
Daldane and Gox, because you are the two that decided to talk.
Okay. I have a... And stealth is plus two.
You cut out right when you were giving the number.
I have a 5, and stealth is plus two.
Okay. Disadvantage to roll again.
Well, that's already going to be a 7. But roll again to see if you get a nat 1.
Okay. I have rolled a 7.
Okay, so we're going to go with the 7, not the 9. Because it would have been...
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
We're going with the low roll.
7 plus 2. Either way, figure it out. That's what I rolled.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It was not a good number. As soon as... Gox replies, like, when Daldane says, that's a large spider, it doesn't do anything. When Gox replies, it turns in the creepy way that spiders do, where it scuttles with its legs, but it just rotates in place. It's a zero radius lawnmower, and now it's facing you.
Hi.
Who's driving the cart?
I don't know.
I actually don't either. Who's got the highest animal handling?
Mine is a 0.
4.
Mine is also a 4.
I can't remember what Zaylee's is, and I'm thinking of Bryn when I think she's the one handling the cart.
Oh, right, yeah. That's right. Well, it probably shouldn't be Gox driving the cart with an animal handling of 0.
And Zaylee's is plus 1, so it's me or Marwise. I'll make it me.
Okay. Give me an animal handling check.
16.
Okay. The donkeys are very skittish, but you're able to keep them from trying to stampede, which might actually not be a bad idea because they'd take you away from the situation.
Oh, right. It was Kendrick. So they don't bolt.
They don't bolt. They would like to. That is one of the things on their to-do list for today. They're going to have some oats.
Understandable.
Take you somewhere. Right. They're going to bolt.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to question their life choices that led them to this point. The swamp was bad. This seems to be worse.
Okay, so I'm going to get out of the cart and kind of maneuver around the donkey so I'm in between the spider and our party and just stand there.
As soon as you approach, I would like you to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. I've got a 19 on the dice, and constitution is plus 2.
All right. Your good news for you.
Saving throw is plus 2?
I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. I got a 19 on the dice. That I'm sure of. I'm looking at the.
Okay.
I'm looking at this character sheet and where the stats are, and it says a plus 2 on that. Maybe that's not the thing I should be adding in.
Just below and to the left of that, your constitution is plus 7.
Oh.
Constitution saving throw is plus 7.
Okay, I understand now. So that, then.
So you've got a 26.
Well, that's good to remember for the future, but a 19 on the die would have been high enough regardless of how many you were adding to it.
Okay.
So a beam shoots out of one of its eyes and hits you, and you feel a bit sluggish, like it's trying to hold you in place, mm-hmm. but you summon your inner barbarian and just shrug it off.
Okay. So would I like to rage holder. Then? Would that work? Would the spider have induced Gox to choose to rage? Knock it off of there.
The spider may have initiated combat. You might actually be rolling for initiative at this point.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well, I would like to rage when it's my turn, whenever that'll be. Or was that my turn? I don't know.
No, that was its surprise round.
It's surprise round. Okay. I have a 14. Initiative is plus 2.
Well, if it's a spidey holder, then what I was going to try doesn't work. But I have a 24 for initiative.
Wow.
And I have an 11.
Okay.
It's okay. That's my one good roll for this episode.
Okay.
That's why I have to
a cat that is now half in my dice tray because he fits.
If he fits, he sits, right?
He does, unless I move him out of the way because all those little dice. I also have a handful of Nerf darts that I'm just occasionally tossing off across the room because he chases them and then gets distracted.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. And then I go pick them up later. Okay, so Daldane, this is going to be very surprising for you, but you're going first.
Gasp. How far away is it from me?
How far away did you stop the cart? Let's put it that way. Your dark vision extends for, I want to say, 60 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're no more than 60 feet away. But how close did you get before you decided the cart was going to stop?
Well, let's have put it at 30 feet then.
Okay.
Oh, it attacked first, right.
Well, it did a surprise round, yes. It is in this initiative, but it has a lower number than you did.
No, I know, but my point being, doing a preemptive strike.
Certain abilities that require you to strike before they've done anything are not in effect because it did something.
I mean, we're not attacking it before we know it's hostile.
True. It is hostile.
Yes.
Well, maybe that beam was just because it felt that Gox was a little uptight and needed to calm down a little bit. It was a soothing way.
Okay. Hey, Gox tried to talk to the thing and gave it and gave Gox a paralyzation beam.
Yeah.
We've killed things over less.
It was just trying to relax Gox a little bit. Next is going to try some acupuncture.
All right, I'm going to cast Bigby's Friendly Fist Bump.
Again, I don't think that's a spell. I mean, it should be. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Bigby's Clenched Fist. Now, will a 26 hit?
Let me check my stats. You only just barely smack it really hard.
So, 22 points of damage.
Noted. All right, it's the spider's turn.
And I'll toss Marwise a Bardic Inspiration.
That's a D6, right?
D12.
D12. Before or after I make the other roll?
This can be added after seeing the roll, but before knowing the outcome.
Okay.
Okay. So now it is time for the spider. And looking at Varn's character sheet will not help me.
Oh, not for the spider, no.
But unless it suddenly acquires a skunk in a cage, then that might be helpful.
Then it might be useful.
On Varn's turn, it might acquire a skunk in a broken cage. Depends on what I roll.
Could be.
Okay, it is going to try and attack on Daldane, because Daldane is the only one that's attacked it so far. Daldane, give me a dexterity saving throw.
24?
24 succeeds. So you are going to take half damage. So that's going to be 13 points of force damage.
Oh, okay.
Yes. A spider beholder, apparently. You didn't think that was a thing, but whatever. There's a lot of strange magic that happened here. Next up... Wait, this is... It also gets two four-leg attacks. I'm sorry. It is going to run forward, and it's going to attack the first thing it gets to. In this case, it's going to be Gox, because Gox, you're right there.
Yep.
And that is... Well, that roll's not going to hit you.
Okay.
Actually, no, hold on. No, that's not going to hit you. But the other one is a 25.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Okay, take 15 points of slashing damage from a foreleg.
Okay.
It does not attempt to bite you.
Okay, hold on. My character sheet is not playing nice here. Or I'm hitting the wrong button. All right, so... Yeah, I can't access the thing to change the damage.
I'm loading up your character sheet now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it's not letting me click on it.
All right, I just gave you 15 points of damage.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you need me to give you 15 points of damage, let me know. I provide a valuable service.
There you go.
All right, now it is Varn's turn.
Okay.
Someone roll me a D8. What's Varn going to do today?
All right, here's a D8. Oh, someone's got it. There you go.
A 2. I don't think we've done a 2 before. Alchemist Fire.
Wow.
All right, that's a ranged weapon attack. That's a 7 plus 4, so that's 11. That's not going to be enough. I'm just going to say that there is a... Varn tried to kill it with fire. He missed. He overthrew, and now there's fire behind the spider. So it's a really cool-looking silhouette of a spider. Backlit by flames, but not actually burning at all. But that's Varn's turn. Gox, it is your turn.
Okay, I would like to rage.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to attack the spider with my battle axe, which is what I do. To roll, let's see. Got a 17 on the dice. I don't know if that means
with
if
your
I
bonus, that's going to hit.
Okay. So that's going to be, I forgot what it was. I'm going to get that.
1d10.
And a d6. 10. Okay. All right. 1d10. That's a 9. And then the radiant damage is a d6. And that is a 3.
Okay. And I'll add in your bonuses for that.
Thanks.
All right. And for your next trick?
I'm going to do it again. So let's see if I hit. That was a 2.
Your bonus is good, but it's not that good.
Yeah. Okay. So I've missed on the second turn. And I think I'm out.
Yep. Your bonus action was raging. So nothing else you can do.
Okay.
All right. Marwise.
All right. Well, I'm lacking some of the expensive material components for some of my better spells. So can I cast Blade Barrier in a way that would envelop the spider but keep Gox out of danger?
I know you that can might place it down so that it goes across the street right where the spider is, but not where Gox is. But if you want to try to separate Gox and the spider.
No. That may be the primary purpose of Blade of Barrier, but in this case, I know I'm kind of locking the spider in with us, but I think that's probably one of my better options at this point, so.
Well, maybe it'll attempt to flee.
That's also a good possibility, but. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Basically,
Gox, I'm sorry. Give me a perception check while Marwise is casting Blade Barrier.
Okay. I've got an 11, and perception is, plus 5.
Okay. This spider might be wearing armor because there was a metallic ching sound as you did your damage to it.
That's really weird.
Yep. So, blade barrier. What do I have to roll? I think I have to make a save, right?
There is a save for half damage, but I don't think it comes into effect till the spider starts its turn. Its next turn.
Really?
So yeah, when a creature enters the walls area for the first time, or starts its turn there, so...
Well, it's entering the walls for the first time.
But, I
see what you're saying, yeah. I'll roll the save when it's a spider's turn. Because it's not moving currently. And do you do a bonus action as well?
Yep, a spiritual weapon. In this case, cast at 4th level. So, do I get advantage on the attack roll?
Gox is right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, 15 on one.
That's going to be a miss.
24 on the other.
24 will hit. So, what's your damage?
So, 7 damage with the spiritual weapon. Really bad rolls there.
Well, I think Blade Barrier might make up for it.
Probably.
It's a thing that might take place.
Mm-hmm.
Daldane, this spider's been kind of forceful with you. What would you like to do?
Is Gox going to call out that she heard metal, or that he heard metal?
Yeah, I can. It didn't occur to me at the time because we were doing two things at once with...
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so Gox is going to say, anybody else hear, like, a metal sound when I hit it with this battle axe? That's kind of weird. Are spiders normally metal?
No.
Well, it depends on the kind of music they listen to. it is wearing all black. It's got a Metallica t-shirt on.
Oh, well, then, yeah, the spider is very metal.
It has 8 sleeves. It's a little weird. The custom job.
Custom, yeah. Probably spent a bunch of money getting that customized.
The slash that you put in with your battle axe actually has made it look cooler. It's probably going to get some safety pins and put it back together with those.
That's a little more punk than metal, though.
Well, you can be into more than one genre.
This is true, yeah. Sometimes it overlaps. Anyway.
Despite desperately wanting to know what this creature will look like while it's dancing. I am first going to use a bonus act to friendly fist bump it again.
Okay.
And Gox is still within however many feet of it.
Yep. Right.
Actively
up there.
Engaged with the target.
Close enough to hit it with the battle axe.
I think my
well, a 21 hit
a box, and I don't mean it's inside the box.
You mean it collided with the box?
Yeah. I can't see the box from here, but there was a thump.
Will a 21 hit?
A 21 will hit.
Okay. So that's another 16 damage.
Okie doke.
And I'm going to take a leap of faith and cast Chain Lightning. And it's got to make a dex save.
Okie doke. What's my target number?
And my DC is 15.
It makes it.
Oh, no.
So I'm assuming half damage.
So that's 23 from Chain Lightning.
Okay. So that was your bonus action and your action?
Yes. Okay. And I'm staying right where I am, so that's my turn.
I appreciate that Daldane and Marwise are just hanging out on the cart.
Yeah.
Turrets.
Really, yeah. Gox is like, I got this. No worries.
Well, technically, Varn's hanging out on the cart, too.
Yeah.
So someone roll me a D8. To let me know what Varn's doing this time.
3 or 8.
What?
Whichever's funnier.
Got it first.
Mm-hmm.
I say whichever's funnier.
I'm going to go with whatever was said first because everything on this list is funny for different reasons.
Okay. So this should be entertaining.
And in this case, he throws a basket of centipedes.
Wow.
Oh, actually, he's going to throw a basket of centipedes, because guess what? I skipped the spider's turn.
Oh, okay.
Spider's going to go.
Yeah.
Now, see.
And it has to make a dex save of 17.
Yep, because it's starting its turn.
It is, yeah.
17, you
said?
So
while Crash rolls that.
Yep.
It fails.
17.
Fails, then takes while the Crash... full 6 d10. Should I roll that? Or...
Yes, go ahead.
So what's the fancy thing that's happening while I'm rolling?
Oh, it's not a fancy thing. I'm explaining my leap of faith, which is my believing very, very firmly that we're in a desert, we're in a ghost town, we're encountering a giant spider. The giant spider goes clang when you hit it. My leap of faith is you're making a Wild Wild West joke.
I'm pretty sure you already have inspiration.
And I was really hoping that lightning would do double damage to a mechanical spider.
Unfortunately, looking at the stats for this thing, it does not have any weaknesses.
Oh, well. Guess we'll just have to hit it.
Yep.
You just have to hit it a lot. And 23 points of damage from Blade Barrier is hitting it a lot. So that's the start of its turn. It is going to use its... it's going to see if it can recharge something.
If it can what?
Nope. Well, one of its abilities needs a recharge, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
I just didn't hear the whole thing.
Yeah. It's going to use its force beam on... who's it going to use it on? There's four of you. I'm going to roll a d4.
I can't believe Zili is sleeping through this.
Yes, well, it's going to use the force beam on Gox. So Gox, give me a dex save.
Okay, I can do that.
You have advantage on dex saves because you're raging.
Okay, I rolled a 20.
I don't think you need to roll again.
Yeah, and then dexterity is, I don't know if there's... or something here. Let's see.
You don't need to add a dexterity bonus because a nat 20 is an automatic success.
Okay. Well, all right. I got a 20.
That means you're going to take half damage. You take 13 points of force damage.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you do not take half damage from raging.
Right. Yeah, I still can't access the character sheet. I don't know what's going on.
I will put it in for you.
Sorry. You know, this is once again where the barbarian's character sheet is impervious to damage. You know?
Yes. Well, yeah, you're at 112 out of 140. So,
okay.
You're not.
Like, I'm all right.
You have gotten a very annoying paper cut.
Mm-hmm.
How dare it?
Right.
And it is going to try to barrel you over as it tries to get out of the blade barrier. And in the process, it's attacking you twice with its forelegs.
Okay.
That's a hit and a crit.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So for the hit, you're just going to take average damage, which is 15.
Okay.
I will put that number in.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're below 100.
Okay.
And for the crit, it's 2d8 plus 6, so it's actually 48 plus 6, because it's double the die. 28 points.
Wow.
Right in the breadbasket.
Okay.
And it is now out of the blade barrier. It's one could argue it's right on top of you, but not in a way that you're prone.
Okay, so it's just real close up.
It's more like because it's a very large spider, its legs are on either side of you, and you're occupying the same hex space on the map.
Okay.
Hex space in particular because hexagons are cool.
Sure. All right, so now
you're down to 69 hit points.
Okay.
And now Varn is throwing the centipedes. So let's see what Varn's centipedes look like. Cobalt throws a small basket into a 5-foot square space within 20 feet of it. Oh, the space that is currently occupied also by the barbarian. Okay, this is
okay.
The thing. Oh, you know what? I made a mistake. You took full damage from the stabby stabby, but you shouldn't be taking full damage from the stabby stabby.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to heal you 4 points. Not 4 points, but I'm putting points back in.
Okay.
You're up to 90. All right.
That's a bit better.
Yes. So a swarm of insect centipedes with 11 hit points emerges from the basket and rolls initiative. Oh, no.
Oh.
At the end of each of the swarm's turns, there's a 50% chance that the swarm disperses. This is going to be annoying. I am looking for the swarm of insect stats. There we go. It made some of them links and some of them not links, I guess, because they figured, well, wasp nests in a bag has the same stats for scorpions in a bag. So So it's the same thing. All right, so roll their initiative. That is a 14. Okay. Gox, you are aware that there are centipedes falling off the back of this mechanical monstrosity on either side of you. But apparently most of them are in mounted combat at this point.
Okay. So they are not bothering me at the moment.
Well, not currently. But they go after you. Speaking of which, that was Varn's turn. It's your turn now.
It's my turn now?
Yeah. You go after Varn.
Cool. Okay. All right. So I'm going to... So am I like under the spider or just really close up to the spider?
Imagine, if you will, a forest where the trees are spider legs.
Okay. So it's kind of like that. All right. And so right now the centipedes are mostly on the spider?
The centipedes were thrown in a high arc. They landed on the spider's back.
Okay, they're on the spider's back. All right, so I'm just going to attack the spider again, and I'm going to try to take off one of his legs and attack a leg.
That's not how you know they're dead, but you can't reach
them. No, but I can't reach that yet, you know? So if I move enough legs, I'll be able to reach. So let's see. I have a 15 on the dice.
15 plus your bonus to hit, which let me look at that again to make sure I'm saying the right thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, that more than hits.
Okay. Say 1d10, which is a, looks like a 1. I got a 1, plus 4.
Yep, and then, so roll your d6 as well, because you're doing radiant damage.
Yes.
The joy of being a zealot barbarian.
I know. I also got a 1 on the radiant damage for that. So
you're doing the least amount of damage you can possibly do.
Pretty much, yeah. But I do get another turn, so I'm going to try again. That's a 3.
That's not going to do it.
I think that hit. So I've missed on the second turn then.
And unfortunately, I'm not going to count the centipedes as being allies. They're neutral. They're upset that their home has just been thrown at something.
They don't like it. Okay. All right. So let's do... That's probably about it.
Okay.
Wait, do the centipedes count as allies?
They do not. They're neutral.
Okay. Well, I could do...
There's my spiritual weapon if you're just looking for pack tactics.
Oh. Well, kind of. I've got a thing I...
The spiritual weapon doesn't count as an ally.
Okay, so... So I want to do a bonus action... And it's called Zealous Presence. Once per long rest as a bonus action, you unleash a battle cry at up to 10 other creatures of your choice within 60 feet that you could hear. Gain advantage on attack rolls and saving throws until the start of your next turn. So I'm going to do that.
Okay. And if I'm nothing else, that gives you advantage.
If anything, yeah. So if anybody's...
Everyone else already has 60 feet.
Well, yeah. But can I count the centipedes?
You can.
It might be a bad idea, but maybe
not. If they go for you, you're going to not enjoy it. The donkeys that are pulling the cart now will also have advantage on their attack rolls should they choose to go into combat. They are not choosing to do so at this time because the DM does want to roll initiative for donkeys right now.
So I'm gonna do that, and I think that ends my turn after that. But
all right.
Can't hurt, I guess.
Okay. Next up are the centipedes. And
they're on the spider's back right now, or some of them are.
Most of them. The majority of the swarm is on the back. Okay. And looking at this, it's at the end of the turn that they might disperse. So right now they're going to attack with advantage because somebody has egged them on. with advantage, that's a hit. So have you ever seen... an animal attack sheet metal?
I don't think so. I can imagine, though.
It doesn't go according to plan. Or rather, it does, just not the insect's plan.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it takes no damage from the attacks.
Well, it's worth a try.
Yes, they stab it with their steely pinchers, but they just can't kill the beast.
See, I was going to say, I've seen a goat attack sheet metal.
Yes.
And That did not go according to the sheet metal manufacturer's plan.
I think it was warranty voiding. All right. And next up is Marwise.
All right. Is there any chance I could get to Gox without provoking the spider to attack me immediately?
Well, get to Gox, yes. Get away from Gox and the spider, that will invoke an attack of opportunity. But getting to Gox, it just gives the spider a target-rich environment.
Okay,
but it has ranged attacks, so technically you're already there.
Yeah, but so far it seems focused on Gox, and I'm just trying to determine if it's worth going up to Gox to cast one of my cure spells on him.
Well, he's not bloodied yet.
Nope.
He was almost bloodied, but then I forgot that I was putting damage in for damage he shouldn't have been taking.
He also got 17 temporary hit points that I don't think got recorded on the sheet.
No, they didn't get recorded on the sheet.
17, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, well, those would have gone away first. I'm just going to heal Gox for 17.
Okay.
There we go.
Thanks. I forgot about that because I couldn't enter it and then I forgot. So I'm doing okay. Yeah.
Dodgy math, but it adds up.
Whatever.
So, yeah, Gox is doing pretty well hit points-wise, even though Gox is taking more damage than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what the barbarians are for.
In that case, I'm definitely staying out of the melee range of the weird spider.
Yes, join the turret club.
They have little decoder rings. They got them out of cereal boxes, but shh.
Drink your Ovaltine.
I got that reference.
All right. I suppose I'll start off with my bonus action because I'm not. And I get pack tactics for this, right?
Gox is right there, so yes.
Yep.
So 12 on the first roll with the spiritual weapon, and 22 on the second one.
The 22 will hit.
All right. 2d8 plus 4. This time I do 19 damage to the spider.
That's a much better roll.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. It's bloodied.
All right.
So that was your bonus action. What's your action?
All right. So it's within 60 feet of me, so I'll cast. Okay, so I'll cast a cantrip, a Sacred Flame. It's got to make a dex save of 17.
It makes it. And it's a cantrip. I'm going to assume it takes no damage if it makes the save.
Yeah, it looks like it.
All right.
Oh, well.
You still did close to 20 points of damage in one round, so that's pretty good.
Not bad for a cleric.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more than damage than I did last round.
All right, Duldane, you're up.
All right, first the fist bump.
It tries to hold up one of its pedipalps to meet your fist bump. This might go poorly for it.
Oh, no.
23 hits.
Yeah, roll again to see if you crit.
I didn't.
Ellie knows how to use sidekick to roll for advantage automatically.
Yeah, show off.
That's 18 points of damage.
Okie doke.
And I'm going to assume that this is a creature and cast Dissonant Whispers. And it's got to make a wisdom saving throw against a 15.
Well, it doesn't make the save, but is this psychic damage?
Yes, it is.
It takes no damage.
Well, it still must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from.
Well, that's a problem.
Uh-oh.
That's a problem because it's going to have to go through the blade barrier.
I thought it might.
What do I have to roll to save versus that blade barrier again?
Let's see. It has to make a dex save of 17.
Well, it makes the save, so I'm guessing it's going to take half damage.
So, yep, it normally takes 6d10, so in this case it's going to be half of 6d10. So 15, I think.
Yep, always round down. All right. Is there anything else you want to do, Duldane?
I'm wondering idly if it runs into the fire.
It does not.
Okay. But it's got to come through the blade barrier again to get to us.
It theoretically should have to, yes.
Okay. That works for me. Then no.
Okay. It's a spider's turn. It vanishes.
Gox is disappointed.
It was there, and now it's not there. maybe use the cover of the blade barrier and the fact that the fire was silhouetting it, so making it harder to see details. Or maybe it cast a spell that made it vanish. Or maybe it did that thing that spiders do, where you just lose track of it, and now you assume that it's underneath anything or behind everything. Varn is suggesting that you burn the town to the ground. It's the only way to be sure.
I think we kind of started that, didn't we?
I was going to say, he's done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
Well, the alchemist fire is just in the middle of the street. It hasn't spread to any buildings.
Okay.
It is the... Varn is currently the least dangerous member of this party, which, as the DM, I appreciate, because I don't want to be that DM that says, okay, everyone, you've teamed up with this NPC that I made named Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And she just has a few minor abilities. You can only cast Wish 3 times a day. Has a plus 25 Vorpal sword.
Oh, God.
So I don't want to be that DM.
I'll point Zeely's hand between two of the buildings and whisper, fireball.
It has just the effect that you'd expect from whispering the word fireball instead of using any of the rubble components.
Well, it was worth a try.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at Varn's stats again. Pretty much, if the spider had targeted him at all, and some of those attacks were random, I was rolling a die to see who the spider would attack. If it had hit him once, he would have been killed.
Wow. Good thing he stayed back. This is why he uses ranged weapon.
Yeah, it had a ranged weapon, and that's what it was using to attack randomly.
Yeah, wow.
And Varn's got 13 hit points. The ranged weapon did, on average, 15.
Oh, poor little guy.
11 days.
Oh.
I do have healing spells, so provided that
true.
Varn...
True, you'd be able to bring him back up if he didn't fail the 3 death saves.
But we're both in the same cart, so it would have been really easy for me to cast any of my healing spells on him.
True. But you've heard of glass cannons. He's a glass pop gun.
Still, he's my friend, and I'm going to save him.
Yep.
Because that's what friends do. Also, he's an ally, so if you could convince him to get close enough to the big bad, that counts to give you advantage.
But odds are Gox is already standing close to the big bad.
Well, that's also true. But he's small enough, you might be able to throw him at disadvantage.
So we're out of combat at this point?
At this point, you're out of combat, so far as you know.
Okay.
And let's out of Dodge.
Let's get out of Dodge. I'll take a side street out to the outskirts of town.
All right. I'm going to go get back in the cart and look around for the spider that I think is going to return.
Okay. Roll me one more d20.
Me?
Anyone. First number I hear is the one I count.
15.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yippee-ki-yo.
You hear a harmonica go.
Ghost spiders in this town.
Now keep in mind, the last time you sang an impromptu song about something you encountered, you may have awakened Tiamat.
Yeah, but the mechanical ghost spider's already awakened.
Yeah, but you might have summoned the ghost of Clint Eastwood.
But he's just going to yell at the empty chairs, so...
True. That or a straw man. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a shorter game, but it's already 10:30, and it might not be a school night, but I'm tired. So this seems like a good stopping point for this. Is there anything that anyone wants to plug?
EO's mom writes books at elizabeth-mccoy.com, and I run a social media website at elekk.xyz. Sign-ups are currently closed, but send me a message and we'll work something.
All right.
My website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got 2 podcasts. One is about the lore of the Diablo games and books. The other is me reading random pieces of my writing about whatever I choose at the moment. There's a lot of gaming blogs on there and a bunch of other stuff, and you can find it all at bookofjen.net.
And we have a Patreon for this show and the Hit and the Brisk Abyss, yeah. That's a different thing. That's more painful.
That's a different game altogether, yeah.
Yeah. The Hit and Abyss campaign and this one have a Patreon to help keep the lights on. We are breaking even, but every little bit helps and encourages us to include additional content, because every time we break even, I'm probably going to end up doing something that makes sure that we're not breaking even anymore by adding more expenses to it, because it's a hobby and therefore it is a bottomless pit that I'm going to try to fill with money. And I can fill it with your money too if you go to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and donate, just like a bunch of awesome people, including Ellie and Cindy and Alice and Chris. And I'm forgetting a name. Someone else's. Oh,
Eric,
and Eric.
Maybe?
There we go.
Bob.
No, Bob canceled his patronage the day before the end of the month. So we got all the bonuses. No, I'm joking. There is no Bob. Yeah, only Zool.
There is no Bob.
Yes. Bob is actually my go-to name if I have to make up a name for something random in class when I'm teaching. When I'm taking attendance, the last name I'll call out is Bob. I've never had a student named Bob, but when students call me out on it, I point out that Bob has been in class since day one, and shame on them for not being aware of Bob. They need to pay more attention. But never mind about that. All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. This has been fun. And until next time, have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.